Good morning. Today's principle is going to be the principle of supply. I know this season that we're in and this time economically, let's say, many people are feeling lack and limitation. So it seems to me that perhaps a review of the principle of supply is in order. In this little group, there are seven of us. I feel it's not necessary to be formal. I feel I can give an informal talk. Just be myself and relax and share. I don't know if you've read Joel's account of when he was in Boston and having a hard time with supply, but he speaks about only having a dime in his pocket. And, of course, having bills like the rest of us. And so he looked up the appointments that he had and the meditations and healings that he gave, and he sent out bills to the patients and the students and waited. And, of course, he received hardly anything in return. Now, Joel, if nothing else, was honest with himself. And so he took a look at that. What could be wrong? And I remember him talking about walking down the street. He didn't have the money to take a bus or a cab, so he had to walk down the street to get home or where he was going. And thinking to himself, what is the nature of supply? What is the nature of supply? Do you remember suddenly the realization came to him? Wait a minute. I am supply. I, the I of my being, I am supply. And do you remember he realized then that supply was not that which came to him. Supply was that which flowed out from that I within. And so he tore up the bills and stopped sending bills to anybody. And he said he had a difficult time because it didn't start flowing right away. But he continued to pour out that which he had, which was prayer and meditation and healing. And eventually the flow started to appear. Pouring out that which he had, it came back. And he realized, in demonstration, as his supply began to take form, he realized, in demonstration, that the I of my being is supply. And the principle is in a wonderful little chapter. In Practicing the Presence, I had to hunt for it because I remembered the chapter, but not where it was. And so I'm just going to read a little bit of the beginning because it says it much better than I can and in a lot less words. So this is the chapter in Practicing the Presence, chapter 6, called To Him That Hath. And that's the principle. To him that hath, it shall be given. And so if you are not demonstrating supply or you're not demonstrating a sufficiency of it, then you are not living the principle, to him that hath it shall be given. Because you have to demonstrate that principle that you have, that the I of you is supply. And the only way to demonstrate it is, like Joel, to give it away. So now listen. When the Master was called upon to feed the multitudes, and the disciples told him that there were only a few loaves and fishes, he did not recognize that there was an insufficiency. No, he began with what was available and multiplied that. For he knew that he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. You see, if you know that the eye of you is your supply, the eye of you is all supply, the eye of you is supply. I am supply. If you know that, and you demonstrate it, then that which flows out is heaped up, pressed down, and running over in your experience. But if you think you're giving from your bank account, Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, if you're giving from your bank account, from your time, your effort, a personal sense of supply, then, of course, you're going to experience that second part, which is from him shall be taken even that which he hath. It will dry up and run out because you're living through a personal sense of supply. Now, we talked in the last talk here a few days ago about a personal sense of existence, a material sense of life. Well, now we're talking about a personal sense of supply, a personal sense, a material sense of supply. If you live from that material sense, you will find that from you shall be taken even that which you have. It'll run out. You'll be on empty. And lack and limitation will be exactly what you've sown and are reaping because you're living from a personal sense. But to continue this chapter, it says, Scripture tells the story of the widow who fed Elijah, even though she had only a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. She did not say she had not enough to share, but she first made a little cake for Elijah before she baked one for her son and herself. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail. She had little, but she used what she had and let it flow out from her. Day after day, we are faced with the same question. What have we? If we are well grounded in the letter of truth, the answer is clear and certain. I have all that God has. I have because I and my Father are one. The Father is the source of all supply. In this relationship of oneness, I am body supply. How then can I expect it to come to me? I must agree that I already have all that the Father has. Are we that which receives, or are we that center from which the infinity of God flows out? And I've been saying this for a couple of years now, in various ways. We either live as the Christ and demonstrate the Christ, or we live as a person and demonstrate all the limitations that go with the person. Even that which we have shall be taken. And so he says here, are we the multitudes who sat at the feet of the Master waiting to be fed? Or are we the Christ feeding the multitudes? In the answer to that lies our degree of spiritual realization. I and my Father are one means exactly what it says, period. We do not ever look outside of our being for our good. We must ever look upon ourselves as that center from which God is flowing. It is the function of you and me, the function of the Christ or Son of God, to be the instrument as which the good of God pours out into the world. So, are we ready to make this transition? Are we ready to make the transition from man whose breath is in his nostril to the Christ? Are we ready to make the transition from a personal sense of supply, which can be taken and can run out? Are we willing to stand a little to the side and let this Christ, this eye of our being, flow out to whomsoever it will? To him that hath, it shall be given. Now that's the principle. And the only way you prove you have something is by giving it away. Now, you have to use a certain amount of common sense. If you have, say right now you're experiencing a sense of lack, and you have $50 in the bank, and you know that the day after tomorrow you owe 40, it probably wouldn't be prudent to give all 50 away. Although I've done that just to prove the principle. It probably would be a little more prudent to take what you can give and give that. But even if you can't give money, oh, there's so much more you can give. In so many directions. I'm going to tell you a story now because it helped me with this principle. In, well, many, many years ago now, I didn't think I had anything to give. I came home one evening and my first wife said to me, "I'm leaving." It was right around a little before Thanksgiving. She said, "I'm leaving. I found someone else I relate to and I want to be with him." And the next day when I came home from work, the house was empty of all her possessions. Her and our son were gone. Now I remember I went into the baby's room and it was nothing but blue walls. And I went into our room and all her things were gone. There was not a note, not anything, just a key. She was gone. And at the time, she was my world. I didn't yet have a good conscious awareness of the presence of God. I had just the beginning touch of God, but I didn't have a conscious awareness on a daily basis. And so I pretty much fell apart. I just plopped down on the couch and cried. I couldn't believe that that which I loved more than anything else in the world was gone. And I remember I had a really hard time with it. For a week or two, I was just in the most severe, blackest, bleakest place. And of course, I felt like a failure. And so I felt like I had nothing to give. And I talked to a spiritual friend of mine, and he said to me, well, he said, "There's something in the book, The Art of Meditation, for you." But he said, "I'm going to see if you can find it. I'm not going to tell you what it is," which was a strange thing to say. But I remember I came home and I got down the book off the shelf and I found this chapter called For Lovers of God. And reading along here, I came to this place where it said, "To those who live in communion with God, serving God through their fellow man, the promise is literally kept. All that I have is thine. No longer is there a need or a desire for any person or anything. Everything and every person become part of our being. What we surrender, we have. What we hold in the grasp of possession, we lose. Everything we release, we draw to us. Everything we loose, we have. Everything we set free, we bind to us forever. Loose him and let him go. Let everyone be loosed in Christ." And I saw that. And I put the book down, and I meditated on that, and I came to the conclusion that I was going to have to find out how to serve God through my fellow man. And indeed, this man that told me to find a chapter in the Art of Meditation, he also said that the only way I would get out of this problem was to transfer my feelings to God. And of course, I said, well, how can I do that? I can't see God. I can't hold God. And he said, that was for me to discover. So, in the days that followed, something miraculous happened. It was such a transforming experience that I've never been the same since. And here's what happened. I made the decision that to the best of my ability, I would love God and pour out that love by loving God in every living thing. Without talking about it, I would just do it. And so I started with a plant that I had in my living room. It was a wandering Jew. And each day I would talk to that plant. Nobody was there living with me, so it didn't matter that I talked out loud. And so I would talk to that plant and I would say, hi, Father, how are you today? Or, hi, God, here, have a drink and give it a little water. And I can tell you that that plant never got any sun in that living room, and yet it flourished. It just flourished. And I had a cat, a black cat named Sufi. And Sufi would come from the kitchen and look at me and be about ready to run and jump up on my lap, but I'd be reading the Art of Meditation or practicing the presence, and I'd put my hand up and say, just a minute, Father. And the cat would sit down like a dog and wait. I'd finish the chapter, put the book down and say, okay, and then it would come bounding up into my lap. And I'd talk to God in that cat. And I began to have some strange experiences. Very strange. I can't explain them very well. I'll tell you a couple of them. I went to a diner, and I had my... I realized that I could not say to people, hi, Father, how are you today? Because they would think I was a little eccentric, if not crazy. So I didn't do that. But inside myself, whenever I saw a person, I would say, Father, how can I be of service? What do I have to give to you? And these strange things were happening. I went over to this diner, and I ordered my meal, and I had a cup of coffee, and I took the water, the ice out of the water with a spoon. I scooped a little bit of ice into my coffee. And before I knew it, this waitress had seen me from way across the restaurant. She came walking up with a glass of ice and set it down there. It was really a strange thing because I was getting all this love from the universe was coming back. And yet, I was pouring out all the love to the universe because I was loving God inside of everyone and everything. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and this is the absolute truth, and I was there, and I'm not lying. One day, I was in my living room, and I was reading probably the Art of Meditation, and there was a fly flying around the living room. You know how they can do? They land on your forehead, and you move your hand, and they fly away, and then they come back and land on your hand, and you brush them away, and then they come back and land on your arm. It was really getting annoying. And finally I thought, well, now that's enough. I can't even read a paragraph without this thing landing on my nose or my eyebrow or something. So I got up to get the fly swatter, and I stopped dead in my tracks. And I thought, now wait a minute. God's inside of every one and everything. God has to be also within this fly. And so I put the book down, I put my palm out, my hand out, palm up, and I said, now fly, you come over here and land on my hand, and I'll put you outside. And it took a couple of laps around the living room and came over, landed right in the center of my palm. I got up, and the fly stood there. It didn't move. I walked across the living room to the front door. Still, the fly stayed on my hand. I opened the front door. I opened the screen door. I put my hand out, and I said, there you go, Father, and off it flew. I see, I was having some strange experiences like this. And then, one night I was reading probably the Art of Meditation, and I set it down, and I closed my eyes to have a meditation. And it was a meditation like any other meditation. I got quiet. I repeated the letter to myself a couple of times, the letter of truth. And then I listened, you know, with the attitude, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Not necessarily the words, but the attitude. I was being receptive. And suddenly, there was a presence there with me. And I felt it. It touched me on the side of the face. It was a tingling presence. And with it came a sense of peace. And I knew that the Father and I are one, because we were right in the same place as one. And from then until now, and that's been 38 years ago, I guess, 39 years ago, from then until now, I've never been alone. That presence has always been with me. And so I say this, I bring this up because I learned from this experience that by pouring out into the universe secretly, sacredly, silently, is simply recognizing God in the midst of you and everyone I came in contact with. This was pouring out from my crucible oil. This was sharing. So you see, it didn't have to be money, although I've given a lot of money away over the years too. But if you are right now experiencing a lack and a limitation because you've been trying to pour out your supply, your sense of supply, your sense of money, your personal account, and if it's not working, and you don't see any way that you can pour anything out because you haven't got anything physically, it doesn't mean that you can't pour out. Because I learned from this experience by loving the one in the many instead of the many in the one, that life gave it back, heaped up, pressed down, and running over. I have friends today the world over. The world over. Good friends. I have a sufficiency of supply and enough to share. And by supply, I mean not only just dollars, although I have those too. I mean I share my house with foster children. I share my bedrooms. I share my car by giving people rides when they need them. I share my love by recognizing the Christ in each and every one. I share my meditations when people ask for help, and even when they don't. I share my first prayers to the enemy. When we were first informed that at 9/11 that the towers have been attacked and all that, the very first prayers that we gave here in this house were for the enemy, because we were told to pray for those that use us, those that hate us first, and that's what we did here in this house, and then we prayed for the victims. So what I'm trying to say is the principle is to him that hath it shall be given, and I proved that I had supply, that I was supplied by pouring it out in recognition of God inside of everyone and everything, and in little acts of kindness. And later I poured it out in acts of kindness that nobody could catch me doing. In other words, they were anonymous. And so you see, you prove that you have by giving it away. Whether it's love, whether it's prayers, whether it's donations, whether it's charity, whether it's service, you prove that you have by giving it away. And you demonstrate that I am supply by going into your closet, becoming quiet, being receptive, and asking that I how it wants to pour out. Then the opportunities present themselves. You'll just know when it's right to give and in what way to give. And then you'll demonstrate that I am supply, and that you never had supply, and you never will have supply. There is no personal supply. That's the problem, living from a personal sense of supply. But the answer is in living by the impersonal I of your being. And so the principle is, to him that hath, that shall be given. And so if you have I as your supply, it will be heaped up, pressed down, and running over in your experience. But to him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. And so if you live by a personal sense of supply, you can pretty much plan on running out. Now, let's take a look at something else here. Now, in the Kalua study series, Joel talks about the book, The Infinite Way, and the chapter Supply. And he talks about how he talked of the orange tree, and he gave the principle there of supply, and how very few people connected that orange tree up with their existence. So let us see if we cannot enter into this and connect it up the way he was hoping we would. Now, he says, we must understand that money is not supply. Money is the result or effect of supply. You see, if money becomes a part of your experience, it's because the I of you is forming itself that way. So he says, since money is not supply, what is? Let us digress for a moment and look at the orange tree, which is laden with fruit. When I lived in California, I had an orange tree in my yard, and they were navel oranges, and they were quite delicious. And the first year I noticed them, there was only two oranges on the whole tree. And I picked them, and I ate them, and they were wonderful. No seeds, sweet, big, thin, peeling. It was delicious. And so I went out to that tree, knowing that God is inside of everyone and everything, and I thanked that tree. And I said, oh, they were so good. They were so delicious. Thank you for sharing. And I didn't think any more about it, although I used to have my meditations on the back porch where I could see that tree quite often. I didn't think any more about it until the next year. The next year, when I went out and looked, there was 36 oranges on that tree. And so recognizing God and pouring that out to that tree, the tree gave back that love. God is love. And by recognizing God in the midst of that tree, it poured back God in the form of love, or in the form of oranges. So anyway, back to this. Let us digress for a moment and look at the orange tree, which is laden with fruit. We know that the oranges do not constitute supply, because when they have been eaten or sold or given away, a new crop starts at once to grow. The oranges are gone, but the supply remains, because within the tree there is a law in operation. Call it a law of God or a law of nature, the name of the law is not too important. But the recognition of the presence of the law operating in, through, or as the tree is very important. Now, in this case, in my case, and hopefully in your case, what he's saying is, if you look out here, your car, your house, your money, your service, your love, none of these are your supply. Because supply is invisible. I am supply. And if you have I, to him that has I, it shall be given. to him that has a personal sense of life shall be taken away even that personal sense of life. You see the principle? If you recognize God in the midst of everyone and everything, especially yourself, if you have I, and in your meditation you become still and you feel, as we said the other day, the living omnipresence of God, of I, and you let it flow as it will to whomsoever it will, stranger, enemy, or friend, or family. Let it flow to whom it will. That's how you demonstrate you have I. And that's the law of supply. That law operates, he says, to draw in through the roots, the minerals, the substances, the elements of the air, water, sunshine, and it transforms that into sap, draws it up the trunk of the tree and distributes it through the branches, sent into expression as blossoms, and in time they turn into green marbles, and this becomes a full-grown orange. All right, now do you see how he wants you to connect this up with your life? This invisible eye is flowing all the time if you don't stop it by trying to live on a personal sense of supply. If you don't stop it by you deciding where and how you're going to give of your treasures. If you get yourself out of the way and you allow this I, which is supply, to flow to whomsoever it will, knowing consciously that I am supply, and watching it, then the world will return it to you in forms of love. But those forms of love can be in acts of kindness coming to you, or oranges on a tree. Or dollar bills showing up in your mailbox that you didn't even expect. But you will recognize the whole time that you're going through these lovely, wonderful experiences that this out here is the effect of that invisible eye demonstrating, forming itself. And when you have that, and this is what came out of my experience of being alone that Christmas morning so many years ago, and discovering that I wasn't alone, that I had I, an invisible presence, always and forever. That is where I discovered the I, that I is my supply forever. I carry it with me in this world, in the next, in the next, in the next. I will never leave thee. But this is a conscious experience. It's not a theory. It's not just the letter of truth that I read in this book. It's a very real experience. And when it becomes a real experience and you connect it up, as Joel suggests here, then you shall have supply, heaped up, pressed down, and running over from all corners of the universe. And so he says, within you and within me there is also a law of life. And our awareness of the presence of this law is our supply. You see, it takes, again, like we said the other day in the last talk, it takes your conscious awareness of this I, of this law in operation, of this life, of this presence. And it takes your conscious awareness watching it flow out and pour out of its substance. So, our awareness of the presence of this law is our supply. Money and the things necessary for daily living are the effects of the consciousness of the activity of the law within. You're watching. You're no longer living by a personal sense of supply, but you're standing to the side and watching the impersonal I pour out its supply to the universe in giving money, in giving love, in giving service, in giving recognition of that presence in the midst of everyone and everything, in acts of kindness, in prayer, in service. You're seeing that, understanding that, and being consciously aware of that allows you to take the thought off of the things of the world and abide in the consciousness of abundance. And it comes to your abiding place. And it comes in forms you never dreamed of. The entire universe pours love at your feet. Simply by knowing that I am supply. So, the divine or universal consciousness, he says, your individual consciousness is spiritual. And the activity of your consciousness is spiritual. And therefore your supply in all its forms is spiritual, infinite, and ever-present. What you behold as money, food, and clothing, automobiles, and homes, represents your concept of this invisible supply. Alright? So, finally, he says, let us agree now to see that just as we need take no thought for oranges, as long as we know the source of supply, so we need no longer take thought about dollars. Let us learn to think of dollars as we do leaves on trees or oranges, the natural and inevitable result of the law. Active. Let us look at the lilies and rejoice at the proof of the presence of God's love for his creation. Let us watch the sparrows and note how confidently they trust the invisible. And let us rejoice when we see the flowers in spring and summer because they assure us of the divine presence. Do you see the principle of supply? Joel caught it in his, oh, I am supply. And he began pouring without looking for a return. I caught it in my experience of, oh, God is inside of everyone and everything. And my job is to love, to recognize, to uphold, to serve, to bless, and to pour out the recognition of that presence in everyone and everything. And I hope you see it in today's talk and in understanding the principle, to him that hath, it shall be given. And to him that hath not shall be taken even that which he hath. To you who have the conscious awareness of the living I in your meditation, and stand aside and permit it to flow out to whomsoever it will. To you then, you demonstrate, I am supply. And to you that have not, that still feel you're a person, and you have nothing to give, and even that which you have is drying up, you are demonstrating the perfect demonstration of a personal sense of life and a personal sense of supply, and that which you have shall be taken. And so I give to you the secret of life, really. This is the secret that Joel talked about when he said, in ancient days, master masons were given a password that would allow them to go anywhere in the world and demand a master's wages. This was the secret. I am supply. And now I give it to you. And when you have it, when you've demonstrated it, when you've made it your own, when you've connected it up for yourself within and witnessed it and bore witness to it, flowing, then you can go anywhere in the universe, turn within, and bear witness as it flows. An infinite, eternal, abundant supply. And so, which do you want to be this year coming up? Do you want to be the person sitting at the feet of Christ and waiting to be fed? Still, after all these years? Come on now. Come up higher. It's time to be the Christ pouring out. And then and watch the universe pour back to you, God, in forms of love beyond your wildest dreams. Heaped up, pressed down, running over, so many you don't have enough storehouses to store them in. Now let us be still and contact this inner supply, this inner presence, this inner I. Now we understand that thy grace is my sufficiency in all things, that thou art my sufficiency, that I within, I am supply, able to feed 5,000, able to pour out to this universe infinitely. I am supply. The eye of you. Is this not perhaps where the original idea of Christmas presents appearing under the tree started? Is not this the experience that Elijah had when cakes were baked on a stone? Is not this the principle that Saint Nicholas knew when he gave and gave and poured out, never looking for return? Did he not receive the living Christ as his gift? And so, my friends, if I do not get a chance to tell you again, Merry Christmas. May you find within yourself the living Spirit of God. May you discover that you have the I. And may you discover this Christmas, I am supply. Blessings.